just divert out, because this case reminds me of the fact that we're working on a project right now to put a fourth button on the Adjuvant Online website. Right now it's breast, lung, and colon.
Yes.
Hopefully by sometime in 2009, there's going to be a fourth one called MetResect.
Perfect.
And it's going to be an attempt to provide education information for patients in this kind of a situation. You know, we spent like about 6 or 8 months working with all these people and, you know, lots of people you're familiar with and trying to read the literature. And finally, after about 8 months, I turned around and say, well, in terms of determining whether somebody's resectable or not, can we just simplify it down to two issues? A, is there a tumor that's abutting on a critical surface so that you can't get a margin? B, if you take all the tumor out, are you going to have not enough liver left, which would be 20% in a completely normal person, 30% diabetic, et cetera? And is that sort of like it? So I ask you, because that's kind of the conclusion I came to. Do you agree? Or
yeah. To be honest, I think for patients with liver-limited disease, we have a responsibility to make sure that these patients are treated the most effective way and are evaluated by really specialized surgeons. Because I think if you really are able to shrink it, you make a difference between cure and palliative care.
But in terms of trying to figure out if somebody's resectable, do you think those are the two main sort of issues, or is there anything else?
I think the liver-limited disease, absolutely. But I would include patients who have limited lung lesions.
Yeah, oh, no, that's a whole other thing. We're going to talk about that. Lung lesions, portohepatous nodes is a big issue.
Yes.
Simultaneous primary, as in this woman, is a big issue. But I'm just talking about the liver right now. So
absolutely.
I'm guessing what happened to this woman was when they first looked at her, they figured if they take everything out, there's not going to be enough normal liver left.
Oh, they couldn't, yeah. It was all over.
And then she had enough of a response that sort of from a volumetric, and I don't know, did she have volumetric studies of her liver to see, you know, what would happen?
Yes. So she had about 40% liver left, but this 40% included areas where disease was seen before. So we knew it would be a high risk resection and a really high risk tumor recurrence in areas where tumors were seen on CT PET, but not visible anymore.
Right. And I guess the other thing I've seen is that people believe that even if you see a clinical CR, if you go in there, they're going to see tumor cells.
That's correct. I mean, the studies clearly show with negative PET, negative CT, negative CEA, 40% still have microscopic disease.
And I guess, you know, when you talk about a high recurrence rate, I mean, it really is kind of problematic to think about a person going through this type of surgery and then ending up with progressive disease, all the suffering they go through. What happened to her?
So we actually resected her, which I think is very critical, and this is not often done. We looked really carefully at the pathology because the pathology showed 99% tumor necrosis. So the disease we took out was highly sensitive to chemo. And I think it makes a big difference when you take a tumor out which is necrotic or tumor which has no necrosis, particularly for the decision for further adjuvant chemotherapy. So we analyzed the tumor again. We had a hard time to get actually viable DNA out of this necrotic tumor. But we continued with the same treatment for an additional 3 months of chemotherapy and followed her up. After 1 year, she developed a recurrence of 2 centimeter lesion in the area of the former spot of one of these diseases. So
was that one of the ones that was surgically resected, or the one that was RFA'd?
That was actually in the area of an RFA.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So, and we know that is a higher risk for tumor recurrence in this area because it's just protected by blood flow with the heat. So we did actually CT scan every 3 months, and we caught this with a CT scan, and it grew 2 centimeter in 3 months. So we actually started treatment again with FOLFIRI, bethesuzumab, and cetuximab.
Can I just ask you before you go too far, how was it for her to go through the hepatic resection? Was it difficult? Did she have problems?
She actually was doing quite well. The major complaint, she was really fatigued and tired. She was kind of had no energy left. It took her about 6-8 weeks to recover from the surgery. Not any particular GI bleed or liver dysfunction or nausea or pain or anything like that. More kind of, it was taking the wind out of her sail feeling.
And just also to just go back to some clinical points, what did you do about treatment as date of surgery approach? I know you stopped the bevacizumab. When did you stop it? When did you resume it? And what about the other drugs that she was getting?
Right. So usually I stop Avastin for major liver surgery 8 weeks before, just to make sure there is no active anti-VHF antibody in the body. But we continued with FOLFIRI alone until 4 weeks prior to. Even she had 8 months of chemo, she had really normal liver function. So she did not have any increased transaminases or alkalic phosphatase indicating a potential hepatosteatitis or hepatodilatation in the biliary tree.
What about post-op? When did you start her back?
So since actually she was not feeling strong enough, so I waited actually 8 weeks. Usually I try to do it earlier depending how patients feel, so it would have been no problem to start 4 to 6, but in her case we started 8 weeks.
And same for everything?
Yes. So we did the same treatment for an additional 3 months.
Right.